From the LiveX studios in New York City, Cheesehead TV brings you two guys who like to think they know something about football.
Good evening, everyone, and welcome back to Packer Transplants Live. I am Aaron Nagler, and joining me, as always, is Mr. Corey Behnke, my partner here at Cheesehead TV. I'm coming to you live from the Nagler Studios deep in Astoria, Queens, and Corey joins us from across the street at Lambeau Field, and we are ready to talk some Packers. What do we have on tap today, Corey?
Today, we tend to the wounds of another heartbreaking loss in the playoffs against the 49ers and look ahead to a Packers offseason full of promise and hope. But right now, it's time for the good, the bad, and the ugly. We got the good. We got
Aaron Jones. Just put him here permanently.
I wish. We got the bad. We got
Darnell missing tackles Savage.
We got the ugly. We got
Corey's favorite Packer, Anders Carlson. Oh, rough outing for the rookie kicker. Corey Behnke, how the hell are you, man?
Oh, are you talking about the 2023 draft bust, Anders Carlson? Is that what you're talking about?
Now, sir, you know you cannot judge a draft for at least 3 years, sir.
This is the thing. I agree with you, but I inherently disagree vehemently, however many synonyms I can use, for drafting a kick specialist in the draft. So if a player shouldn't even be drafted, you can judge them the entire time. It's just not
immediately. Especially when they're handed the job.
The NFL should not allow kickers and punters in the draft, in my opinion. Like, it shouldn't even be a position you can choose. Yeah.
It's like, you know, when you're in your fantasy draft and you can just eliminate whole positions and whatever. Like, it's the draft. It's only running backs, wide receivers, and tight ends. Nothing else.
Yes.
That's what Corey would do with kickers and punters.
NFL
draft.
I would.
I like it.
I would.
I get it. I understand it.
I mean, I still want to keep field goals and I still want to keep extra points.
Right, no,
and I still
want to keep, utilize those positions. Yeah,
also, I love Pat McAfee. They talked about the whole touchback thing because I didn't even realize that was controversial. Like, fumbling.
Flame wars on Twitter every time it happens. Yes.
He said it so succinctly, better than I could, so I'm not going to say it again, but it's like, it's your territory. It's the other person's territory. If you give the ball up in the other person's territory, they get the ball. It's not fucking rocket science. I don't understand
this. I never understood.
It's not confusing at all.
I don't get it. No, it makes total sense. It's very precious down by the goal line.
Yeah.
Take care of the ball. Like, that shouldn't be controversial at all. I'm with you. But yes, every time it happens, there are huge flame wars on Twitter about it.
I mean, it's already hard enough to fumble in the end zone. As soon as you cross the plane and if you had possession,
you have
a touchdown.
Exactly.
So
just keep the ball in your hand until you cross the goal line. And this should not be controversial. It shouldn't be difficult, especially to understand as you're sitting there on your sofa. Come on, people. We're off script already. I love it. I do, before we get going, want to give a shout out to our new partners here at Packer Transplants, Cheesehead TV, our friends over at Nicolay Law. Outstanding stuff. If you are in need of any kind of legal help in the Wisconsin area, these are the folks to call. They are from the area. They know the area. And look, they know everything having to do with anything when it comes to everything you're going to have to deal with, but then not have to deal with once you engage them. That's their whole thing. All they want to do is take everything off your plate so you can go on living your life while your case is being handled by them. So check out Nicolay Law. Excellent stuff, excellent people, and the Wisconsin people, the best kind.
Taking over Wisconsin.
Yeah, absolutely love it. Absolutely love it. You know what else we love? We love the hotness. Let's get to it. Time for the hotness. Now, it's always difficult choosing the hotness after a loss, especially a loss that ends the season. And there were still a number of possibilities, but I got to go with my guy Aaron Jones ripping off a 53-yard run in the divisional round of the playoffs, not only for what Aaron did, but for what everybody on offense did on this play. Let's take a look. I mean, I got to admit, the fact that this led to 0 points is really upsetting, but this run, look at the alley You talk about Lombardi style. We're going to get a seal here and a seal here. And Aaron Jones is going to keep moving around and trucking fools and getting as much yardage as he possibly can. Let's take a look from the end zone angle. I mean, this
watch
is what I'm
Christian
about.
Watson here. He needs to, if he just gets one block at the end, he could probably open it up a little bit more.
Right there.
Here, now Ward, there. Ward take out seven. Down. Take out seven, nine. What are you doing, nine? Take out seven. It's need more killer
awesome
instinct
run
from these wide receivers. That is an awesome run. But, you know, he should have had a touchdown. Come on.
It would have been nice. Well, you know, I mean.
If he played on the
Aaron
Ravens,
Jones,
the Chiefs, or the Niners, he would have had a touchdown. Let's be real.
Yeah, I don't know about
that's
all that.
The difference.
But
that's the difference.
It's a hot,
that's the difference.
That's a hot run.
That's why we're not in. That's why we're not in the playoffs right now.
Oh,
right there.
I don't know about all that. I don't know about all that. I mean, it's a contributing factor. Let's put it that way. But this
if
is
wide receiver. Wide receiver blocking was really good. But if wide receiver blocking could be better, we would be in the Super Bowl. Just saying.
I love how you have these sweeping proclamations off of
Well, think about this. Think about this. You just said it yourself. Okay. Right. It's a great run, right? Great run. Yep. Excellent run, right? But we don't finish. So the fact that we don't finish, then we don't get a touchdown, right? So had we finished, we could have won the game. Okay.
See, this is why I almost chose the Bo Melton touchdown, because that play design is so hot. But the safety falls down, so it feels kind of like a cheat. Like, okay, yeah, it's a touchdown. He's wide open. And I think he scores regardless of the safety falling down or not. But it's not as hot as a play as well executed as that.
Yeah, that run was sick.
Usually for eight or nine yards, it ruptures into 53. I mean, that's an awesome play.
Well, and you know, we talked about it last week, but like the difference on this team besides Jordan Love ascension is Aaron Jones for five games straight. I mean, just
the return,
incredible
yes,
play
sir.
By him as a specialist. Yep. You know, probably arguably the greatest for the 2023 Green Bay Packers, the greatest leader of the team.
Oh, zero question. Zero doubt. Well, you know, we've talked about the hotness, Corey. Now it's time to get to Packers news, of which there are a few headlines today, Corey. A few headlines.
Yeah, it was an early morning. I noticed you didn't get up very early. Everybody had already retweeted. I'm like, where's Nagler? Where's Nagler? Where's Nagler?
Sir,
and everybody retweeted it. Adam Schefter.
I retweeted it literally 2 minutes after Pelissero put it out. 2 minutes.
You were
and then
late.
I had a video up in 15 minutes. Don't come for your boy. Don't come for your boy. No, sir. Not with the fact that I had this
I was
set
just
up
surprised.
In like 3 minutes.
So surprised how late we were. I'm just gonna be honest with you. You know what
I'm gonna
I mean?
Whoop your ass next time I see you. Oh my god! The hoops I jumped through this morning, Banky. Oh my god! Anyway, Joe Barry won't be defensive coordinator in 2024, and I might not be with Cheesehead TV in 2024 if this keeps up. Joe Barry out the gate. What was your reaction, Corey, when you read
don't
the
threaten
news?
Me. don't make me excited. Don't tease me. I was trying to find the right synonym. Where was I? I was in bed and I was waiting for our tweet. That's where I was. No, what was my reaction? My reaction was, what took them so long? You know what I'm saying? Like, why did we wait until Wednesday? What is Monday for? Is Monday just not a day anymore? You know what I mean?
Like, well, that was when Matt said he was doing his process and he was going over everything and he wanted to.
Okay, so Monday you talked to Joe, get the triangle on board Tuesday morning, Monday afternoon. You know what I'm saying? This is a little nit I'm going to pick. Just what are you waiting for? The gun, the bullets in the gun? Put him out of its misery.
Maybe we take him at his word, and he was actually going through the entirety of the season before making a decision and reviewing every game and every, you know, the ins and outs of the entirety of the season rather than just emotionally pulling the trigger after a loss in the playoffs.
I mean, I hear you on the 30,000-foot view. I totally hear that, and I'm gonna give Matt the benefit of the doubt. But, like, realistically, he knew he was going to fire Joe Barry at some point this season. He made it, like,
I tend to agree with you.
Like,
I agree with you.
He didn't wait until Monday. He didn't look at the film and was like, okay, Joe, if I see good film, I'm going to keep you.
You're going to stick around. Yeah, I do tend to think once the Tampa game happened – and Matt legit publicly says, I have to get more involved on the defensive side of the ball. It's real hard to come back from that, right? I mean, they did show improvement after that, which is probably even more damning But I don't think LaFleur wants to go into 2024 having to hold his defensive coordinator's hand, you know? And look, I think Joe did some decent stuff throughout his time in Green Bay. Certainly got off the field a number of times against San Francisco where I was pretty damn surprised. I mean, you and I were on watch party going, we actually got a stop. Well, we actually got another stop. I mean, there were a number of opportunities for the offense to take control of that game. It's not like defense got blown off the field, you know what I mean? Which a lot of people were expecting. But at the end of the day, like I said, I think once Matt had to kind of hold his defensive coordinator's hand, that was the beginning of the end. That's my suspicion anyway.
Yeah, no, I blame the entire playoff loss on Anders Carlson. There's no doubt about that. But, you know.
Of course you
do. Of course. Do. I blame it on Brian Gutekunst for drafting a fucking kicker in the draft. He should listen to me for the last 14 years, and I know that one thing. You don't draft any kickers in the – you don't use draft value in the draft for kickers.
Got it. Noted.
I wish he'd listen to me about that.
We'll let Brian know. In other coaching news – another coordinator level coach has been let go. That's right. Strength and conditioning coach Chris Gizzi has been fired by LaFleur. This one kind of took me by surprise, I will admit. Though, obviously, with the issues, soft tissue injury stuff going kind of pretty rampant around the team at times during Gizzi's tenure, I guess it shouldn't be a surprise, but probably the thing that I should have seen coming is the fact that Gizzi was an inherited coach, right? Like, he was already on the staff as an assistant in the strength and conditioning program. And then Matt, when he came on board in 2019, made him the head of strength and conditioning. And then, yeah, this season, I think there were probably some internal frustrations. Although, by the numbers and metrics, Packers were not even close to, quote, the most injured team. Like, as far as games lost by starters and things of that nature.
It had to be something else, because how do you make soft injuries hard? You know what I mean? Like, what? I know they're going to the University of Madison and to do some testing and all this stuff, but it's like, really?
Specialists. No, I don't know. It's interesting. So it's an interesting call.
They didn't do enough calisthenics. They didn't do enough hamstring exercises. They didn't do enough up downs. They didn't, you know, what are we missing?
Well, here's my thing. Here's my one kind of thought here is that perhaps, you know, because Gizzi obviously was a player in the league. Packers fans will remember very famously, he ran out of the tunnel with the flag the first Monday Night Football game after 9/11. That was kind of his claim to fame as a player, but obviously played in the league, right? At a very different time. And then has been with the Packers in this capacity, I think since 01, I want to say, or I'm sorry, 08, something like there, after he got done playing. And then, you know, over this time where Matt has been in the league, I do not doubt, like, things have changed as far as whatever the new thinking is on soft tissue injuries in particular, but probably strength and conditioning in general. It's probably very different than when Chris Gizzi started out. And I'm sure Matt, or I'm not sure, but my guess is Matt probably wants some really updated thinking on everything when it comes to strength and conditioning. So, I mean, it's kind of what happened when Matt came on board at offensive line, right? Remember how everyone freaked out because he brought in Adam Stenovich, who no one had ever heard of. But it was like Steno was new era and had, you know, really new ideas about offensive line play. Whereas Campen, who was the, you know, long tenured, really well-regarded coach, was kind of rooted in older philosophies. So I suspect that's driving this more than anything else. That would be my guess.
Yeah, I would agree. I wish, you know what I wish is that I wish that the triangle would take this, certain pieces of the triangle, Mark Murphy, and apply this approach to other divisions of 1265. I'm not going to name which ones, but I think you can probably figure out which ones I'm talking about.
Interesting idea.
There's one in particular I'm thinking about where, like, you know, really should you have a VP who came from local television be your VP? You know what I mean? But
you just can't help yourself, can you?
Yeah, it's just a little weird, but it's kind of the same idea, right? It's like Chris Gizzi, remember he had the flag.
Rooted in older technology and older methods.
And he's been with the team a while, and, you know, it's like sometimes you got to mix it up.
It's comfortable, right? It's comfortable. What's not comfortable is moving on and trying something new and maybe finding your way through some ideas you're not familiar with and not comfortable with. I hear you. Definitely hear you. Now, you mentioned it.
Also, you got to feel like Matt is feeling the triangle a little bit. We talked about how the triangle doesn't get to decide, but the triangle does get to decide about Matt. So the triangle doesn't get to micromanage, but the triangle
but they do
gets
have some
to
power.
Manage. Yeah. Right. So you almost feel like, I'm not saying he probably would have done this on his own, but, you know, you never know. You never know where the triangle sits on this.
The triangle doesn't get to micromanage, but it gets to manage. That's a shirt. I like that. I mean, because it's completely true. Although it's so funny to think back. Remember when Matt was first hired and there was Spoon's report about there are, you know, people in the building, which read, i.e. Murphy and Gutekunst, who have strongly suggested he keep Pettine as his defensive coordinator. Like, so... It wasn't like you have to do this, but we'd really like you to. I do wonder if there were any of those types of conversations. I doubt it, but you never know.
I doubt it. And also, like, the Pettine thing, like, he was smart to keep Pettine because it allowed him. Allowed him to have another. Yeah, well, it allowed him to have another gimme to take Barry, right? And so then, you know, it's like you almost get a you get a chip. It's like, okay, I'll do what you want.
Yes.
But now when it doesn't work, I get to do what I want, and it gives you, keeps that chip.
And now that hasn't worked, so now it's what do we want? That's the other thing. He's got to land it this time. He's got to stick the landing. Whoever it is, it's got to work, or else that's probably...
Well, I kind of feel like... Here's what I think about. If you look back on the old process, it was like, okay, I've landed on dipshit. Oh, dipshit doesn't want to do it. Damn it, I don't have a second dipshit. You know what I'm saying? So it was like he fell back on his friend, you know? He couldn't take a terrorist, right? The terrorist refused him. So then he was like, oh, shit, he didn't have a backup, really. He didn't really have a secondary backup plan. And that's what happens when you try to hire people from the University of Wisconsin. You know, the other thing that happens when you try to draft people from the University of Wisconsin is you trade them. That's usually what happens. Anytime we take a University of Wisconsin player, Cole Van Lannen, hi, I'm talking to you, we take them for lesser trade value. So I think we need to learn our lesson here and stay away from players and coaches from the University of Wisconsin. Because look at the history.
Twisting results retroactively to fit your narrative.
Name one person, name one coach or player that came from the University of Wisconsin that has succeeded at the Green Bay Packers in a
it's hard when you've had Ted Thompson in the building for like a decade plus, literally actively avoiding Wisconsin products. Like, he admitted as much,
He was smart. He was smart until 2017 when he lost all functionality. But until he did that, he was very smart. Mm-hmm. So maybe we should – and you know what else Ted didn't do? Well, that's not true. I was going to say something he didn't draft, but I don't think that's true because he drafted a couple things that I kind of don't agree with.
Watch what you ready for this transition? You ready for this? Speaking of University of Wisconsin, you did mention it before, Corey. Both Christian Watson and Eric Stokes are set to see a hamstring specialist and enter some kind of program there at UW-Madison to get a handle on these issues they've been having. Watson in particular is so important, man. We all saw how absolutely explosive and impressive he was as a rookie. And he had his moments this year, but he never really came close to achieving that ceiling again his second season. A lot of it due to the fact that he was on the sideline for much of it. They got to get this kid right because he is a blue chip player. He is a special player that when he's on the field, he makes a monster difference for this offense. And whatever he and they can do to figure this hamstring thing out, they got to do it because you cannot lose another three-fourths of a season to these things in any way, shape, or form.
Also, I hear everybody on Tauscher. Okay, I'll give you Tauscher, but get away with J.J. Watt and T.J. Watt. They didn't play for the Packers. I'm talking about players that we drafted and took, okay?
See, Ted could have taken T.J. Watt.
I'll see you one J.J. Watt and T.J. Watt, and I'll push in Russell Wilson. So get the fuck out of here with your University of Wisconsin bullshit.
Russell Wilson has a Super Bowl ring. I mean, he may not be the greatest quarterback right now, but it's not like he's been terrible his entire career.
He sucks.
He led the Broncos to a victory over the Packers earlier this year.
And that's why what's his name's trying to get rid of him. Interesting.
No, he's getting rid of him, no doubt. I'm just saying, interesting. Like, I understand the Wisconsin hate, but I think you're twisting it a little bit. Just a little bit.
Russell Wilson is not good, okay? And also, we make bad quarterbacks look good. That was our MO.
That is true.
So the fact that Russell Wilson beat us
doesn't say a whole lot.
Makes sense.
Finally,
that also means Brock Purdy is a good quarterback, but unfortunately, by the way.
I also can't believe the timing of this, but the Packers have signed a kicker, Corey. They literally announced it right before we went live.
Maybe Jack we should have done that instead of drafting one. Yeah, did you see his stats? His stats really line up with up with Anders Carlson.
There was a great write-up in the Cheesehead TV draft guide that I highly recommend everyone go check out if you are so inclined to read about undrafted kickers who spent time in Minnesota, but were the SEC Special Teams Player of the Year in 2022. So who knows? We'll see. Be fun to see if he gets a
what is
real
our
shot.
What is the deal with the SEC love for kickers? I don't get this.
Well, Brian, but not just SEC kickers, but Brian was the Southeast scout. Don't ever forget, that's his route. You know, that's where he was down those kind of environs for a long time as a younger scout. He loved, and plus, hell, SEC players are generally really good and do tend to fare well in the NFL. Like, I got no problem drafting SEC people or bringing in
but
SEC
like kickers,
kids.
Though? Like, I'm specifically talking about specialists, though. Because, like, if you think about it, the SEC doesn't kick in the cold.
No. Generally, no. What, you want a University of Iowa product? Is that what you're telling me?
No, I
maybe
don't
a Michigan
know anything
kicker?
About kickers. I know, and I don't care.
You know they shouldn't draft them, but you don't know anything about kickers.
Well, the reason they shouldn't draft them is because of our history with the draft. And
okay, that makes sense.
I mean, like, and also, like, there's just there. You're, in my opinion, it's not. It's less about drafting a kicker and like, oh, getting a kicker. It's more about who you couldn't draft because you drafted a kicker. You know, for every kicker you draft, you miss out on a Donald Driver because Brian's really good at the draft, you know? And so, like, okay. I just think it's not a place you need to draft.
Or
players,
a Jonathan Ford who hasn't played in 2 years or, you know, I think you're mostly throwing darts at the end of the draft. And yes, could you potentially miss out on a contributor? Yeah, possibly. But the hope is that you find a long-term solution if you are utilizing a draft pick on a kicker. Now, obviously, early returns are a little frustrating on Carlson, but we'll see.
I mean, he lost us at least 3 games, including a playoff game.
I mean, he contributed to the playoff loss. I'll give you that. Zero question about it. No doubt about it.
41. If you can't kick a 41-yard field goal, what the fuck are you doing in the NFL? 41 fucking yards. 41. 41. Okay, I get it if it's like 46 or 47, 41. Come on, bro. Come on. And what's crazy is he didn't miss anything under 40. That's what's fucking crazy. It's like, oh, 41. That's my kryptonite.
That's the kryptonite and the left hash. And the snap was a little off, though I thought Waylon did a great job of getting it down. Like, people were talking about this bad snap, and I was like, the snap's a little to the right, but Waylon gets it down in time and turned out right. And like, I think that's reaching. That's stretching to try and excuse the kid's miss right there. I mean, he hit one earlier in the game.
Where got...
It was literally the snap was on the ground. You know,
this
he hit
a
that
little
one
controversial.
Fine. Oh, boy.
But I don't like that Mason Crosby has the most points in Green Bay Packer history. I think we should have got rid of him before he got that record. I know that's a hot take.
What?
I just don't.
Why? What? Why? Just, only you would
like...
care about that. Only you.
I just don't like. I don't like seeing a kicker's name as the most points scored.
That's the
like
NFL, it. Though, especially in the modern age. Almost every team
like Paul
has
Horning,
a kicker as their leading
like,
scorer.
Like Paul Horning, it makes sense because it's like, oh, he was a punt returner.
He's Paul
he
Horning. He's Golden Boy. That image.
Dude, if Paul
that,
Horning,
that visage
if Paul
is...
Horning had played 17 games, that record would never fucking be broken. By the way, I'm just gonna tell you that right now. They played right. 17 games when Paul Horning was playing. There is no way that Mason Crosby would have beat his record. I'm just saying.
So let's move on to the offense because I'm sick of talking about kickers. And I'm going to start with Zach Tom because holy cow, this game really turned on its head when Zach Tom got ousted by the spotter, I guess. I mean, I know he goes in the concussion protocol and they checked him out and didn't allow him back in because of that, etc. But That was a really frustrating kind of sequence because Zach himself looked kind of perplexed as to why he was being taken out, which I guess you would be if you had head trauma.
But
whatever.
Didn't he have a concussion? Wasn't a concussion?
Yeah. Yeah, no, it was. Yeah. I mean, yes, apparently, because
he was tested for one
in the game. He was tested and he had some, who knows, but yes. So they declared, yeah, he can't go back in the game. But yeah, the whole thing really turns on its head there. You know, it's like, look, Yosh Nyman has done amazing stuff for the Packers over his tenure in Green Bay, but he was so overmatched out there. And I do think Matt got a little carried away with trying to run the same offense, quote unquote, with, you know, Nyman in there the same way he would have run it with Zach Tom. And it was very clear that Nyman was not up for that. Like, I do think, you know, they still found a way of working. They still moved the ball at times, but yeah, I think especially in the fourth quarter, man, it really got to Jordan as far as like his relationship to the line of scrimmage, what he was seeing, kind of dropping his eyes for the first time in like 2 months. Like he knew that rush was coming and they only had to rush four. So that allowed them to play tons of different coverages in the back end. And I think Jordan got some happy feet. I think he made some bad throws because of it. This is all, you know, obviously this is just my opinion, but yeah, Zach Tom getting that concussion really, really.
I mean, here's something really that's crazy. I was looking at this. We were talking about, and we're going to talk about defense, but we were talking about on the Patreon happy hour last night. We were talking, and I'm going to get to a point here with back to Zach Tom. So just bear with me for 1 second.
I hear you. Okay, you have the floor.
So we were talking about Devondre Campbell, who's in the middle of his fifth year deal, $50 million. Right. He's right in the middle, like he's about to go into the third year, I believe, and how he counts a bunch of dead money. Well, I'm looking at dead money because, you know, I'm like looking at dead salary cap stuff, and oh, lo and behold, there's David Bakhtiari at the top of the list. So what happens when David Bakhtiari, what happens to Rashid Walker? Does Rashid Walker go to the right side? And then who's the odd man out here when David Bakhtiari comes back?
Okay. If David Bakhtiari comes back, we'll talk about this later in the program.
There's a
possibility he's not back. We will get there. If you would ever read the script beforehand, you know.
I read the script. I didn't get that far ahead.
But who is the odd man out? I bet Rashid Walker is your swing tackle, most likely. Because Zach Tom ain't going anywhere.
Rashid Walker has. Well, that's. Got it. But doesn't that.
You know what I mean? Okay. We'll get there. Everything you want to talk
about. I feel like Rashid Walker is going to become the new Yosh, kind of, if that happens. I kind of feel like.
Kind of. It's a possibility, except like he's a draft pick, a former draft pick. Yeah, but yes, he will be your guy off the bench if and when things happen. What you need.
Because it's like, you got Zach.
Do you remember
Tom
the days
on,
of Jason Spriggs coming in and everything falling apart? Like, at least with Nyman, you could somewhat operate, right? Like,
and
that's
I'm just going to say, I haven't looked at all the tape, but I have looked at a little bit enough to know that I have to apologize for my comments to Josh Myers, because Josh Myers in the last like 4 or 5 games has been pretty stellar. So,
look at you. Takes a big man, Corey. Well done.
I mean, I talked a lot of shit about him in the early season. I didn't really wait for him to develop enough, and in his third
year. I mean,
wait
a second. I think it's understandable when, you know, that's your starting center. It's a pretty damn important position, and you're seeing week after week some of the same problems keep, you know, cropping up. I understand being frustrated by that.
He really came on.
He did improve. Yeah, he did. Now, I don't think he's perfect. I don't think he's an all-pro or anything like that, but he's playing way better and more consistently, which was the real bugaboo coming into this season, the lack of consistency. I think he's played a lot more consistently over the course of the last, like, 4 or 5 games. And, again, it hasn't been perfect, but he's been better. There's zero doubt about that.
Well, and the other thing is, do the Packers take a guard in the draft? I mean, I know they're going to take one, but, like, they need to take one high, I feel like.
I doubt it's high. You know, they've done such a good
Everybody
job
says
of identifying
like,
talent
we never take
late
that.
In the draft. Well, I don't think they'll never do it, but, like, I think unless there's just an insane value, like, let's say there's a guard, right, who they have rated as maybe not a blue-chip player, but, like, a top on their board – they think is like top 25, right? And he drops to round 3, then yeah, they'll take a guard. You know what I mean? Because the value is just too insane to pass up.
But not. But they're not going to.
I doubt they target it. You know what I mean? Like they'll do what they always do. They'll find a college tackle or two that has really good feet, and they think, okay, we can make that guy into a guard, and we'll use him in our.
It's just so weird that like right now, today, as the Packers depth chart is that. Runyon is still the starter over Ryan. I don't understand.
Yeah, but he's set to be a free agent. He won't be. You know, that's why he was crying in his locker. Which, by the way, that's an amazing piece of film. Watching Runyon be asked about, you know, the future and the real possibility that he won't be in Green Bay next year and how emotional he gets about it. Man, that's some real shit. And I think, hey, it's pretty clear the kid loves playing in Green Bay. How much does it gotta suck? Loving your job, loving what you do, your guys you're playing with, the offense you run, loving it, and knowing in your heart of hearts that, I'm probably gone and they don't want to bring me back.
I mean, I just don't understand that does have to suck, but I still don't understand why they kept sharing snaps so much. Like, one of the questions I wish I knew from Stenovich
is why
Yeah, why were they sharing like 50% of the snaps through the end of the whole season? It's just so weird. It's like, what is the thinking? I'm not saying I'm against it, but it's like, what is the thinking to not kind of solidify the five? Because we never really got five solidified as far as like 80% snap count, which it's kind of weird for the Green Bay Packers. I feel like
it's bizarre. I've never seen it done before, ever. Like, yes, it's a very odd situation. And how much does it gotta suck for Runyon knowing this kid's coming in and playing 50% of the snaps? He's probably the guy taking my job. But I'm going out there in the next series. Like, it's just so bizarre.
Well, and that's the other thing. We talked about it like 2 weeks ago on that of like, you kind of feel like one's better at pass protection, one's better at run protection. But like, if I'm the defensive coordinator, I'm just like targeting. I'm just,
is there a tell? Right? Yeah. Exactly. Like, I think I know what's coming. Yeah, but no, it is odd. There's no two ways about it. But hey, here's the other thing. I do think at some point they probably reached it. I think we talked about this a couple weeks ago, where they were doing it right, and they were really hoping Ryan's pass pro would improve much more than maybe it did throughout the season. But they were doing so well and moving the ball and scoring points, and they were in such a good groove with it that they thought, okay, let's not mess with it. You know what I mean? Because, like, at some point, look at the production. I mean, Aaron Jones, the passing game, everything was alive over the course of the last month and a half. Why fuck with it, right? Like, just keep doing it because it's working. That's my guess, right? Because I think you're right. They would probably prefer, let's find one dude and stick with him. But, hey, it's working. Why mess with it? That's my guess. Because it is. You're right. It is. Really unusual and really odd. Another thing on offense that I absolutely loved in this game is we kind of touched on it on that Aaron Jones run, the 53-yarder. Matt LaFleur really found something on the edge in this game that I suspect kind of maybe not surprised the 49ers, but really took advantage of the 49ers. Most of these outside runs, which I think I said it on Watch Party, like, why are we doing this? Like, this is like their linebackers are so good. They're so like sideline to sideline savvy, their athletic ability is going to shut most of this down. And they popped so many big runs along the edge, mostly due to, you know, some of that wide receiver blocking that we were talking about before, but like they have the three, whoever, whether it was Watson, Reed, whoever, crashed down on the defensive end. They did a great job. And then they would like kick Zach Tom out. He would take a linebacker, create these alleys. I was so impressed with just LaFleur identifying, okay, here's something we can really take advantage of. And it's not like that was, I want to say, prevalent on most of the opponent tape leading into this game. Obviously, I didn't watch every 49ers opponent. But, man, you talk about where Matt really gets in his bag. I mean, he was in his bag with some of that stuff against the Niners because they were so productive. And that was fun to see. That was good. And that's, man. You know, I got to wait for 2024, but I'm excited to see this offense get after it like that again because, God damn, that was fun. And then finally, I mean, you can't talk about that game, can't talk about the Packers offense without talking about Jordan Love. And I think Jordan had an up-and-down game. He had a real tough ending to the game. We talked about, you know, the absence of Zach Tom playing into that somewhat. That final throw People are going to be talking about that. I know Bears fans have been in my mentions all week about it.
Whatever.
That's a you talk about. Remember how we've talked a couple times about how, you know, people comparing him to Aaron Rodgers, first year starter, and we've said a little more Favre in there than I see more Aaron Rodgers. And man, that was Favre-esque at the end. I mean, I don't know what he's thinking there. I don't know what he sees. That is boneheaded with a capital B. That said, you cannot deny the run he went on the second half of the season. The level he played at was as good, if not better, than any quarterback in the league. I'm excited for everything coming for Jordan Love. But in a way, I don't mind a little, okay, here's something you really need to work on, which is end of game decision making. Something Matt talked about. Jordan himself mentioned it. Like, yeah, everybody's got to work on something. Everybody's got something they got to attack, right? And that's certainly going to be Jordan's thing this offseason. The 2-minute situations, knowing when to press the issue and when, okay, let's live for another down. I think that's something he's going to have to learn.
Here's the thing. Like, Favre was a moron. Is a moron. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like, he's not intelligent, right? Aaron Rodgers is like super intelligent, more so much so that he like has that whatever that symptom is where you think you're so smart you're smarter than everybody else. Love's kind of in between, you know. It's like you even listen to I was listening to Favre talk about Holmgren, where Holmgren was like, "Don't do this," and Favre did it anyway. You know what I mean? Yeah. It's like I just don't see
often
like Rodgers would do that with Holmgren. Yeah, like all the time, right? And like Rodgers would do that with when McCarthy got over it, right? But it wasn't it might have been spiteful, but it was still a smart decision versus like I'm not I'm just going to do this because Mike said don't do this. So there's a part of me that like, you know, it's when it with Favre it became a trend where he just did dumbass shit and he never really learned from it, you know? And
didn't seem to, right?
He didn't seem to. He learned from some stuff, but he never was a cerebral quarterback, right? He was like, oh, well, they're going to intercept it. I'll just throw it fucking really hard, and then they won't, you know? And
I think, well, no, I think there's a stretch. When he's winning MVPs, he's playing much smarter ball. I don't know if he's, like, reading defenses better or anything like that, but it's clear he got a lot better as far as knowing where to go with the ball, how to keep it out of harm's way somewhat.
He still didn't even know what nickel was.
He didn't ever have like minimal interception numbers, right? Yeah, no, he didn't.
That whole story about when he learned nickel. And I get that, but I'm not saying like, and that's not like, we laugh at that, but it's like, and not like you should know that, but it's like, bro, you were in high school and college and you never asked. Like, that's curiosity as part of intelligence, right? It's like, you know, it killed the cat, but it also makes you smarter. So
I feel you.
I don't know. I'm just like, Jordan doesn't feel like that. He doesn't feel like that guy. It feels he's a studier, and it feels like he's,
You know how we got to that point with Jordan where, and we think we talked about it, where, like, when he lets go of the ball, I'm never worried. I don't have that heart in my throat. Oh, my God, where is it going, right? Like, is this going to end up in our wide receiver's hands or their defensive back's hands? Like, I never felt that the second half of the season. So then to see that throw in that moment, it was like so disheartening, heartbreaking. I know he's trying to make a play. I get that, right? In that moment, here's hoping he learns from that on a big stage, undoubtedly going to hear a lot about it this offseason, et cetera. But, I mean, you still can't take away, even despite a real tough ending, just an outstanding second half of the season from Jordan Love, which hopefully he builds on. Kicks, you know, hits the ground running next season and picks up right where he left off prior to the fourth quarter of the divisional round. That's my hope.
Yeah, and I would say the best thing about this offense having the baggage from the 49ers game now that they have this is that, you know, if there's one takeaway, it's that we can kick the 49ers' ass now. Like, we really can.
We can go toe-to-toe.
We can, no doubt. And that wasn't necessarily evident in other playoff games with the 49ers. So
I agree. It's nice when you show something, but God, we got to close with a deal on one of these before I die.
Here's what's crazy,
gotta
right?
Beat the 49ers
What's crazy is we took Dontavian Wicks and Jaden Reed in this draft. That's crazy to me.
I love it.
That's insane.
I love it. Cooking.
Like, Dobbs, if you have Dobbs, Watson, Dontavian Wicks, And who do you Jayden put on the Reed. Field? If you have four, when you go four wide with those four with Reed and, mm-hmm. and then you put Kraft in and you've got five. I mean, what
you got Musgrave?
How do you?
Hello?
What do you do? What do you do as a defensive coordinator? You try to.
You don't know where
to
roll the coverage. I'll tell you that. I mean, maybe you roll it to Watson, but then good luck with Reed. Good luck with everyone else. Yeah, I'm with you, man. It's exciting.
And they're in their
wait.
First the year. Fact, like, Watson's in his.
Exactly.
It's crazy. They're all in. It's just crazy to me.
First or
like,
second
we
year.
Were in the. We were playing arguably one of the best teams in the NFL at the height of when they are the best team in the NFL. Mm-hmm. And they had nothing for us because we pretty much stopped Bosa most of the time until Zach Tom kind of got a little bit hurt late in the game. But otherwise, we had an answer for Bosa for the first time. And it's just, it's really incredible to think about, like, how young this team is. It's crazy.
Yeah, absolutely. Love to see it. The thing you don't love to see is on the defensive side of the ball. When the Packers, you know, faced that final 49ers drive, game on the line, 49ers got the ball. They need to drive and score. I don't think there was a Packers fan alive. Probably some passing who have passed away looking down from heaven, thinking, Joe Barry's crew, you guys got this. The Packers defense letting us down one last time. And when I saw, and I think I said it on Watch Party, when I saw those two high safeties on the first snap of the drive, I knew it was a wrap. Why you don't come after Purdy there, I have no idea. I'll never know. Maybe that came up in Joe Barry's exit interview, but why on earth do you allow them to dink and dunk you to death, take all that time off the clock? I mean, you want a fitting ending to Joe Barry's time as the defensive coordinator of the Green Bay Packers. That final drive, despite everything, all the positive stuff he did in that game, and he did do some very positive stuff, to end it like that, to go down just completely as soft and as passive as you've ever been. Just one last time.
Well,
you knew it.
That's the crazy thing is, like, the time to risk it is then, because if you risk it and you lose, they score a touchdown and you get 3 minutes for Jordan
Love. You've got time. You've got 3 minutes and a couple timeouts.
Like,
okay, let's go work.
It's insane to me. I mean, like, I go back to the Holmgren time when he let them score in the Denver game because, like, you need the ball.
Super Bowl,
In the NFL, the person who has the ball last is the majority of time, is the person who wins the game if the game's tight. And that's – so,
well,
like,
if they have
want,
time to operate.
You want that ball back.
Less than a minute.
You need the,
exactly.
So it's like – it just – the other thing is it just doesn't feel like – like, it's like – Does the defensive quality control coach, like, do they go, hey, here were our highest probable blitzes for the last three quarters. Maybe we should use one of these. Or maybe, you know, it just feels like, just feels really – our defensive play calling just always felt kind of like we don't really learn.
Passive.
And we don't really get smarter, yeah.
Yeah, it's frustrating. But now Joe Barry is out the door. So we'll see what the future holds. But it
I
was
mean...
– A fitting ending to Joe Barry's time in Green Bay.
I don't see it changing. I'm sorry. It hasn't changed in 30 years. I don't see it changing today.
We'll see.
Name one time in the last 30 years that you felt like the Green Bay Packers defense in the playoffs was aggressive. 2010?
The game in Seattle that we ended up losing. But we picked off Russell Wilson, what, five times? Like, they came after him in that game, and they played a lot of, you know, man underneath, single high safety stuff. They were confident, and they knew they could take advantage of the Seahawks. Couldn't close the deal, but that 2014 defense gets short shrift because they were not great. They didn't end up winning a championship. They weren't great in the first half of the season. But when they switched, you know, Clay to the middle and put Micah the nickel full-time, it all turned around, and that defense at the end of the year was playing lights-out ball. You know, obviously a terrible ending, but that's probably the last time I felt confident in our defense, that I felt like our defense was cooking.
Well,
but it's been a while.
Unfortunately, that was the beginning.
Been a long time.
That was the beginning of Ted's slide, so.
Correct, 100%. But interesting enough, speaking of Micah Hyde, overall, when you look at the Packers' secondary, it needs to be better. It needs to be better. Now, some of this will be kind of interesting to track as far as what they're asked to do, right? There's been a lot of, you know, gnashing of teeth, some of it by myself, regarding how the corners play, how far off the safeties play, and things like that. I am fascinated to see, A, obviously, who gets hired, but B, what they ask this group to do. But regardless of what they're being asked to do, who is doing it has got to be better. I mean, Darnell Savage, you need better if you're the Packers. Keyshawn Nixon, I love Keyshawn Nixon as a dude, love him as a returner. They need much better at the nickel spot. In a league where you're playing nickel 75% of the time, you need better at the slot position. Of course, that's a starter. Got to be better there, you know? And I mean, corner, I don't know if Valentine's the answer across from Jair. I don't know what Stokes is going to be coming back.
But Carrington Valentine's only in his first year. I felt like he played pretty well year, and he had a lot. He has a lot of upside. I mean, when him and the games when Jair was out and him and Valentine kind of took over, I honestly think it's like, how do you have Jonathan Owens as your number one option at that second safety position? I do not understand this. Like, what are we
doing? Need to be better. This is my point.
And Jonathan Owens isn't like crazy upside. You took him from another team.
No,
you know, it's like he's a dude.
Well, they saw a guy. I understood it. I understood that signing because you saw a guy who had worked his way up as far as a special teamer who earned more snaps on defense. And then his final year in Houston, he was a full-time starter for the first time. So it looked like an upward trajectory, right? And look, the other part was the cap, right? They needed cheap labor. Yep. They needed someone who.
Well, and I bet they hoped that Anthony Johnson Jr. would kind of be
well,
maybe.
Yeah,
maybe
I mean, I think they always knew
spot.
That was a bit of a project because of the style of defense he played in college. But you would hope he'd probably come along a little bit more than he did. But yeah, to this point, I think Andy and I talked about this on Monday or Sunday, whatever. You had four dudes vying for two spots, and nobody ever like claimed it. You know what I mean? Like where Savage came the closest as far as they definitely operated better when he was in there this year, but
Well, I think Savage did show late in the season the promise of Savage more so than he has all, you know, in the last 2 years.
A little bit, but then he reverted to every problem area against the 49ers, you know,
but also like you know, to your point about the cap issues, right? With Eric Stokes being the bust that he's so far become, not the first year, but in where he is now, right?
Yeah.
When you put so much on that position and then you don't have cap space to kind of get your way out of it, it's almost like the secondary is really to your, you know. But, you know, you say that, and then against the Niners, we had coverage sack after coverage sack. So there's a lot of upside there. There's a lot of upside, but yeah, there's holes.
Some of that is design. Some of that is design, and shout out to Joe Barry. I thought they'd had a good plan. And that's what I mean when I say, you know, you look at the number of times they got off the field on third down to like exactly what we're talking about, right? You need a stop. You and I on watch party are sitting there going, oh God, we're not going to get a stop. And then they get a stop. You know, the offense could never extend that lead to a two score advantage.
Oh, 100%.
And that 100%. All kind of works together. But, you know, but then money's on the line, game is on the line. What does Joe Barry do? Everybody just keep it in front of you. Just play nice and soft.
And you got to imagine that they're going to take a corner in round 1 through 3. I feel, or a safety. Safety in round 2,
no
corner in round 1.
One of the two is getting taken on. Yeah, no doubt. I will be shocked.
And maybe it's
if
the reverse,
somebody...
to be honest with you. Because if we could get a Nick Collins type early. Ooh.
Right. It all depends on value, right? It depends on who's available.
Is there a Charles Woodson in the draft? As. Can we take one, please? Thank you.
Wouldn't it be great if it was that easy?
Yes, I'd like one Charles Woodson, please. Thank you.
I needed Charles Woodson. Can I order a Charles Woodson, please, and a Nick Collins on the side? Thanks.
Okay.
I do want fries with that.
Before we get done with defense, I do want to, because this is, you know, obviously a lot of frustration, I do want to shout out somebody who is kicking ass, and that's Carl Brooks. This kid played out of his mind in this game. Like, he's so good. He's been really good pretty much all season when they deign to play him. Man, I love this kid. I'm so excited to see him with a year of conditioning, right? An off season of NFL conditioning, as opposed to your rookie year, you're kind of working for the combine, and then you're kind of getting ready for the NFL season, and then it's a long ass season. You're a rookie, you're used to being done like 2 months prior to when you're actually done in the NFL. And then the Packers go into the playoffs and blah, blah, blah. I love this kid. I think he's going to be a legit threat up front for the Packers next year. I love his game. And you keep him cooking with Clark and Wyatt and all these guys up front. Carl Brooks is ascending. Love him.
Well, and you know, let's just take a second, because I have an idea for you guys might like. I just pitched to Nagler for Packer transplants in the offseason, but kind of going through the draft. But I just want to pull up the Packers draft tracker, okay, from this year, which is really awesome. Round one, Lucas Van Ness. Okay, did we find the guy? Was he the guy I thought he could be? Not really. He had some good plays, had some sacks, but really good pick, right? I mean, I think he's ascending and whatever.
I think the arrow is pointing up. Yeah.
Oh, arrow's pointing up. Yeah. So Luke Musgrave, arrow's pointing up. He finally found a way not to fall down. He got some touchdowns. He came back from injury. Jaden Reed, right. up. Tucker Kraft, okay? That's number four. Colby Wooden, I think Wooden played later in the season and had some pretty good plays.
He's okay.
Into the mix. That's a hard mix of guys to get into, by the way, right?
Yeah, like, no
you
doubt.
Could see even especially Van Ness could
size,
not get in the mix.
He's a smaller dude.
Yeah, he couldn't get in the mix. Sean Clifford, everybody's favorite backup quarterback. Dontavian Wicks, amazing ascension. To get Wicks in round five, holy
schmoly.
Probably the best round five pick wide receiver of the draft, I would think. And maybe the best in 10 years as far as how he did in his rookie season. Brooks, who you just mentioned, really taking off the end of the season. We're going to skip who we took in round six because I think that was a terrible pick. Carrington Valentine, we just talked about him. I feel like he's ascending. I feel like,
he
might be the guy.
Got. Yeah, 100%.
Yeah.
I feel
a lot of reps. Lou Nichols, we traded. Never really got
him. No, they cut him,
and then he's on the practice squad.
I think
or something.
He's on Atlanta's practice squad.
Yeah, I think you're right.
Yeah.
So that was a miss. Anthony Johnson Jr., we talked about. He's backing up Jonathan Owens.
All the same.
And then Grant Dubois, who honestly,
Dubose.
It was the one.
He's on the practice squad.
Yeah, he's on the practice squad, and honestly, the poor guy, like, we needed so many wide receivers. We were just like, take all the wide receivers. And so the fact that he's still on the practice squad, I feel like, does bode pretty well.
He had a back issue and missed almost the entirety of the offseason and a good chunk of camp. But they loved him, and he had really – he's got an amazing story, actually, if you care to read about it. But you love the fact that they kept him around, right? I can't wait to see him compete next year after – hopefully a season that has allowed his back to get right. I mean, you're talking about draft picks at that position, especially. And then, like, we picked up Bo Melton last year off the practice squad for the Seahawks, and he just balled out.
Yeah.
Like, I love this.
And arguably it's nine, but, like, let's call it – that's right. Seven contributing this year draft picks, which, honestly, in Green Bay Packers history is
rarely happens.
Somewhat unprecedented. You know, we have had drafts where one guy hits, you know, I mean, come on, like, especially during the 2014 to 2017 window that we all know was one of our trashiest draft windows for, you know, reasons because of Ted Thompson. But, you know, it's an amazing draft class. Like, I know we got to wait 3 years for drafts, but you can say we have an A
good start.
On this draft.
Real
so
good
far.
Start.
So far
real
it's
good
an A
start.
For sure.
Yeah. No question about it. Real good start. Real promising start. And then you couple it with last year's draft class, you're really starting to cook.
Well, all 3 years really, you know, besides Eric Stokes, you know, but I mean, you know, all
they're doing well.
Yeah, it's not too bad. And also I do want to say, I know we're still on defense. You know, this all this stuff about I just don't believe this whole Devondre Campbell thing. I don't understand. Everybody goes, oh, we're going to restructure his contract. What is the incentive for a guy in a 5-year deal in the third year to restructure their contract? The only reason you restructure it is to make it longer. But why would a guy restructure restructure because there's more bonus money and they can cut him? But it's like everybody thinks we're going to get rid of Devondre Campbell. And I don't see it. Like, what am I missing?
I don't think you're missing anything. I think what you've just said makes sense, right? They did sign him to an extended deal, and it's not like there's an easy out, but you never know. Look, the Dolphins literally just parted ways with their defensive coordinator so he could go be the Eagles' defensive coordinator so he could be closer to his family. You know what I mean? Like, you got to remember, it's a relationship-driven business, and there's every possibility that maybe, don't forget that tweet from a couple, like a month ago or whatever it was, where Devondre Campbell's clearly frustrated, both sides might decide, like, okay, it's time for a clean break. You know,
I hear and then you, he but like the problem solid. Is he's, you know, I mean? Like 12 like, million possible. Dead money, though, and on a year where we don't have a lot of money to give.
I hear you. But that's Russ Ball's issue, not ours.
Business.
You know what I mean?
No, I know, but like business. There's the business side. You know what I'm saying?
I know.
Like, very Goody's got to think about totally that. Good. He can't just, yep. He screws himself if he doesn't think about that. And also,
unless
like,
he knows.
Yeah, what's there's that? Stuff I don't. There's stuff people don't know. And also, you look at Devondre Campbell's stats with his injuries this year, which I think is where a lot of his, you know, complaining, whatever, came from, was being played when he's injured, is that his tackles are the same. If he'd have played all the games this season,
right?
You know, I know he didn't have the burst, but a lot of that's injury. So it's like, I don't know. I feel like people are unnecessarily hating. It's his seventh year. I feel like he's still got some gas left in the tank, and like we signed him for a 5-year deal on purpose, you know. And it's like you're in the third year. I feel like this is the time you see what you got one more year at least. I don't know. That's where I am with.
I think some of it will be driven by who the coordinator is, right? Because if you sign or hire a guy who runs a scheme that he's really not fit or suited for, you make the case like, look, we'd love to keep you around, but we don't think you're going to be utilized anywhere near as much or in the same way as you have been when you were an all-pro, etc. You make the pitch that way, maybe he sees it that way as well.
We're not gonna go to a 4-3 all of a sudden. Does anybody even run a 4-3 in the NFL anymore?
You never know. The 49ers do. Yeah, of course. Sure.
Oh, I thought nobody ran
4-3 anymore. Isn't extinct. I know most of the league now runs out of 3-4 principles,
extinct.
But it's certainly not. I guarantee you it is not. And look,
but like we're not
going
to hire a D coordinator to do a 4-3 though.
You never know.
When we're 4,
I would not be so dismissive.
I'm not dismissing it. I'm just like, you have to change so many things to do that.
Well, not according to Matt LaFleur. Your outside linebackers just become your defensive ends. Done. That's what Matt LaFleur was talking about earlier this season when they're in nickel. It's not two down linemen, Corey. It's four down linemen.
Okay, if we ran a 4-3 today. Right. Who's the Gilbert Brown player?
Well, TJ Slayton.
Yeah, he's undersized.
I mean, compared to Gilbert Brown, but, you know.
No, I'm just saying, you need a nose tackle in that defense. You need a real nose tackle. You know? You can't have no, like, small-ass dude. Kenny Clark is small, too small for the nose tackle.
Hey, you better start boning up on the draft there, sir. You better get looking at some nose tackles then.
No, because we're going to need a cornerback.
Somebody who runs a 4-3.
No, they're not going to hire a 4-3. Come on. That's just not even happening.
Yeah, you're so dismissive. I can't believe you're so dismissive. I understand it's probably not likely. I'm not betting because, like I'm saying,
I will bet you one Nicolay law firm contract. No, I'm just kidding. I will bet you all the monies that we don't hire a 4-3. And it's fine. You can use this. You can use this video against me. All the money.
All
the money. I don't have many monies, so you know, whatever. Take it.
You got more monies than I do. Can we get to the off season? Like, we're an hour into this, and we're not even at blogosphere yet.
Okay, we're not an hour. We're 57 minutes, just FYI.
Whatever. It's the perfect end of season transplants because we are way, way, way off script. Possible Joe Barry replacements. I'm just going to go down this list here real quick. Don Wink Martindale out of the Giants. I know everybody is jonesing for this guy. I don't see it. I don't understand why people think Matt's going to go for an older dude who's been around a long time and already had really obvious kind of, you know, interpersonal issues with the last coach he was under. I don't know. I highly doubt it. And then there's Evero, who, you know, with the Panthers, who is apparently on second interviews to be a head coach. I know he's interviewed with Seattle and a couple other teams, but
he interviewed with
I would
us,
love
didn't
him.
Last time.
Yes, I was just going to say he was essentially the kind of, I guess, neck and neck with Joe Barry for the job. And then Matt went with Barry. And I know Evero and LaFleur worked together out in L.A., blah, blah, blah. I'd really like this hire. I don't think it's going to happen. Simply because, like I said, he's got bigger fish to fry at this point. Marquardt Manuel, who interviewed for the defensive coordinator position in Jacksonville, did not get the job because they handed it to the guy who ran the Falcons defense. It's so funny because we've heard a lot about Al Harris, right? Which makes sense. I love Al. Totally been in the profession, the coaching profession now for a long time. I get why he's the hot candidate, but no one ever mentions Marco Emanuel. I mean, Manuel working with the Jets, working with Saleh, who is clearly connected and knows LaFleur, his best friend in the business. That's somebody who I would not be surprised if they brought in. Like, run that Saleh stuff. Let's go. Let's get a little deep water going here and pushing people in it. I'd love that. And then finally, there's your guy, Corey. Could you imagine?
You just put that in there.
Could you imagine if they called Jim Leonard?
They're not. Okay.
Call Jim Leonard. What would you do, Corey? What would you do?
Because it's...
I don't know.
You know that
I never thought they would in the first place.
I'm going to talk...
Oh, God.
We're going to talk about George Bush here for a second. Shame me once. Shame on you. Shame me twice. That's why you don't take Jim Leonard.
Right? Won't get shamed again. It's
won't
fool,
get shamed again,
it?
Baby.
What are you trying to do here? Won't get fooled again. We'll see, Corey. I'm praying for you. That's all I'm telling you is I'm praying for you.
There's no
because if
you
Jim
don't,
Leonard
you don't
becomes
offer,
the defensive
okay.
coordinator of the Green Bay Packers, you are going to catch so much hell, both online and in your inbox okay. and here on Transplants every week.
It's not happening.
Like it is good.
That you don't offer a guy a job, he turns you down, and then 5 years later, however long it's been, 3 years later, go, oh, hey, remember that job you turned me down? Do you still want that job, Jim? Even though you sucked where you were and you were a terrible coach? Yeah.
He wasn't.
That's the other thing. What has Jim Leonard done? What has Jim Leonard done in the last 3 years? Where did he work?
Well, he was with the Badgers, and now he's a
little shitty little state college in Wisconsin.
Stop! Yeah. Why you got to do it? Why you got to?
They're
get
not even. They had a bad defense. Did they even have
Madison.
A good defense? Did they even have a good
decent defense? They were fine until they faced SEC passing attacks, and then they were in trouble. But you know, he was good.
Oh,
what he was asked to
okay.
do.
Interesting. But that's the thing. Like, why would you hire a college? Like, okay,
my
take Madison
always,
out of there, right?
Right
but why
right,
would
right.
you hire a college coach? Like, you okay? So we draft all these players, right? And 30% of the players we draft, like the Anderson Juniors of the world, it takes them a whole right. year to figure out the system and the thing because they don't have
right,
that
right.
in college because it's
NFL
a different
level.
It's a different
right.
thing, right? So why mm-hmm. would why would we why wouldn't like, we're the fucking Green Bay Packers. We deserved – okay, if you're going to take a cast off, we should have a head coach or a DC or build from inside because we had a successful DC. But, like, if somebody's never been a DC, I don't know that we need – like, we need Bill Belichick.
At the NFL level, you mean.
Like, let's go after Bill Belichick, number one.
Oh,
let's
God.
Get
you're talking about things that'll never happen.
If we got like, Bill – how many Super Bowls would we win with Bill Belichick, Matt LaFleur, and Jordan Love? Think about it.
All of them.
All of them.
We'd win all the Super Bowls.
We would never lose any Super Bowl. It would be great.
Oh, it is definitely time for Blogosphere. Let's go. Let's get it.
This week in the Packer Blogosphere.
That's right. It's this week in the Packer Blogosphere, the return of that venerable series. Corey, as you might imagine, the news that Joe Barry had been dismissed produced a lot of content on the internet and lots of learned pieces about who might replace him, what the Packers might be looking for, deep dives into Joe Barry's record as coordinator in Green Bay, and very learned tomes of what went wrong and why it was time to move on and how things had been kind of foreshadowed after the Tampa game and very serious work. But I thought, after perusing the internet all day long, that Cheesehead TV Patreon member Amar really captured Packers fans. Like, forget, like, we're trying to get inside the minds of the people involved and the seriousness of it all. Like, how Packers fans at their core. And yes, the man has a family. No one's dancing on his grave. He'll land on his feet. We're not too concerned about that. I thought Amar really captured it. Let's take a look.
Yes! Bullion worked! Yes! He He's good! My Super Bowl!
That might be my favorite video on the internet. That's so good. I mean, I get it. I totally get it. The fact that Amar calls it his Super Bowl is perfect. So good. So, yeah, I think that was the prevailing theme throughout the blogosphere today. Well done, Amar. Way to capture it.
You know, I was promised that we would talk about David Bakhtiari, but we never did. I'm just like, you know, early in the show, I was promised.
We're an hour
in. I was promised David Bakhtiari. I don't understand.
All right. So, the Packers offseason. You want to talk about David Bakhtiari?
Yeah,
what do you think?
I feel like he's coming back.
Because there's two major components here. I agree. However, we don't really know if he's still hurt, able to play. I mean, that's a pretty serious component to the decision, right?
No, I hear that.
And it's
not like we're
given
not going to trade
that
him and we're not going to cut him. We're going to try to see if he plays in the beginning of the season.
They might
and
cut
then
him.
If he doesn't make the team, he gets cut, right?
But they might cut him outright if he decides he wants to play somewhere else. I know he has said he wants to return, but that was many months ago.
Yeah, but like,
who knows what happens?
Just the
this
way
offseason?
he is the highest dead cap of any player on our team right now, right? So
correct.
I would think, is there any advantage to cutting him early? I don't think so. So,
no.
You know, wouldn't you go through training camp, think you got a guy, and see if he can play in the first game? Because he's literally like one of the best left tackles in the game, and he's already
totally
on your roster, and you're already paying for him.
I agree. I think the fear on the outside from fans might be you get a repeat of this season or even the second to last season where, yeah, he's up. When he's up, he's great. But then he's down, and he's down a lot. And then, yes, we found somebody in Rashid Walker, but shouldn't you just play Rashid Walker then? Like, I understand the thing for me is I think he'll be back, and I do think, crossing fingers, he's as healthy as possible and is able to get through 17, 16 games, like whatever. I think, yes, it makes a world of sense because he is so good. You want him out there. There's zero doubt about that. But I also know feelings can change. Vibes can change. The idea of I'm going to be back in September could be very different in May or March, whenever.
But people think,
you know,
we save money. We do not save money by cutting David Bakhtiari.
No, that's the thing. That's the thing.
You guys
it's
are
like
crazy.
Wants to say,
we don't. There is no upside to cutting him.
No. The cap hit, if you cut him, you're literally taking on that cap hit for him to play somewhere else.
Yep.
That's it. He's still
and
counting
no,
against your cap
that's
at
thing.
An insanely high level
yep.
for to go play probably at a high level for someone else. That
well,
makes
the other thing
no
is,
sense.
Is because of his injuries, you are not going to do the same thing that we did with Aaron Rodgers, which was genius, by the way, of like mm-hmm. making the Jets take on all that dead money. Or not
right.
dead
well,
money, but
the
making
thing.
Them take on the 90
people
million,
talk about
50 million and
him.
All that stuff. You're not trading him
no
anymore.
One's
who's
trading
taking him?
For him. No yep. one's taking that contract on. No chance. Now, here's the outlier, right? And here's I'm just saying, we're going to talk all possibilities. Maybe he and Aaron talk about him joining Aaron in New York, and Bakhtiari works with the Jets kind of the same way Aaron did to rework his contract to make it palpable. That's the one possibility that I see where, okay, maybe he's not playing
that.
For the Packers next year, but I doubt it.
I hear
I seriously
you.
Doubt
I hear you. Everything that I've seen from him on social and things that we've seen over the year and the years
yep.
is –
years.
I do think there is a redemption play here for David that is really important to him to play for the Green Bay Packers and be successful for the Green Bay Packers.
And look, why wouldn't you
give that
with
guy
this
that
offense,
chance? Yeah.
This quarterback? I mean, come on, let's go win a ring, man. Look, never forget, we had David on here on Cheesehead TV years ago talking about what do you like, it was training camp, right? And he was at your house, and we were talking about what do you look for in the rookies and blah, blah, blah. And he was like, dude, at this point, I don't care. Just go help me win a ring. Like, he said that. You know, it's like he's at that point in his career where he's done everything he can do individually. He wants to win a championship.
Well, and
so
who do you think is more likely
he hasn't done?
Who is more likely to win a Super Bowl next year, the Jets or the Green Bay Packers?
I think that's neck and neck, actually, if Aaron comes back healthy. I mean, the Jets got to fix their offensive line, but they got a great, great fucking defense.
I don't think Aaron can handle that offensive line. I've never seen it. So,
well, that's my point. They got to fix that. And David might be a part of that. That's my point. But, yeah, I mean, I think the ring is the thing for Dave at this point. And I would suspect, yeah, that was probably something that would draw him back to Green Bay, especially with how exciting this offense was this year. Come on. And he's in that locker room. He knows those guys.
Yep.
You know, if he wants in, fucking yes, 1,000%. Sign me up. We'll see. I mean, there's a lot of levels here and a lot of context, but essentially, yeah, it doesn't make any sense for him to go play for someone else while you're dealing with that cap hit, like in any way, shape, or form. That's why I don't see him kind of outside of the one scenario. I don't see it happening. Now, we're going to say all this, and like we'll get done here, and there'll be like some announcement. Dave will be tweeting.
Oh, I was watching the guys on transplants, and, I'm not coming back.
Can't wait. The other big question mark, the other huge question mark is Aaron Jones. Because I know, like, lots of people are just assuming he's back. And I think he'll be back. But it's not a foregone conclusion for one reason, and that's Drew Rosenhaus, who is his agent. And I know Aaron is the client. He can tell him, I want to be in Green Bay. But, man, you ain't giving these services away for free. How different did this team look with Aaron Jones on the field this year down the stretch? You don't think that means something? You don't think that's valuable? You know what I mean? And I know he's got a contract. He's handsomely rewarded. I get all that. But, man, it ain't as simple as, okay, yeah, he's back.
Yeah.
I just think there'll be some conversation there. And I really do think he's back.
Maybe that is a restructure where he gets more guaranteed up front. It's a bigger deal.
I hope so. That's my guess.
You know, it's like a win-win kind of thing, right? Where it's like everybody wins and he gets more money. And he can say he's one of the highest paid running backs. You know, it's really about a lot of times perception and then guaranteed money, right? And those are two things on a restructure that can benefit both parties.
Totally agree. Now that we've gotten through the off-season questions that we had, I do want to touch on Cheesehead TV's future here. This off-season, we are going to be having a pretty significant kind of, what would you call it, Corey? Content review? I mean, we're going to be doing a pretty deep dive.
We're having a fellowship of the content.
Fellowship of the content. We are having a meeting with Al about everything we offer here at Cheesehead TV. And look, if you have, we want your input as far as what you like, what you enjoy, what you'd like to see more of. You can hit up contact@cheeseheadtv.com. We're having this meeting next week where we are going to take a very kind of holistic 30,000 foot view of everything we offer. And, you know, things that we do that we've always done, maybe won't be doing the exact same way going forward. There'll be different kind of offerings and ways of doing things and lots of different types of content that maybe we haven't offered in the past. But yes, this is going to be, as you guys know, it's our first year kind of standing on our own as a business here at Cheesehead TV. It went pretty well. We definitely need to take it to another level. And hopefully that's where you guys come in. So that's the plan right now. Anything you want to add there, Corey?
No. I agree.
All right, let's get to Super Chats here.
Dag, thanks for Super Chat. Yes, yes, yes. I could finally enjoy third downs now. Yes. P.S. Good luck, Joe Barry. Thanks for Super Chat. Pack Daddy, best 23 stat, only 5 quarters from the Super Bowl. Yep, true story.
That's tough.
Joe Mailman, that's the story of the Green Bay Packers. Joe Mailman, what is more likely? Jim Leonard is near the top of the list of MLF's candidates for DC or not on the list at all? Not on the list at all. He's not even thinking
about
it.
Not on the list at all.
Right now. He's not on the list. The only reason fucking Nagler put him on the goddamn script is to piss me off, okay? And because people requested it on Twitter. But that he's not even thinking about it because he's not even at our level. Did you see the Green Bay Packers this year? He's not, if he gets an NFL job, it's going to be linebackers coach or fucking whatever, assistant quality control defense, whatever the fuck. He's got to start again, bro. Kent Wakefield, thanks for Super Chat. Excited for a new DC for all the fans to wish we can fire every week. 100%.
Uh-huh, 100%.
100%. Mike Witt, Corey, number one on Bukowski's list is Jim Leonard. Get the fuck out of here, Mike Witt. My list is Weaver from Ravens and Wink. Reaver from Wavens. Is he on the chopping block? But we can't even talk to him until after the Super Bowl. So
no, he's not on the chopping block, but he's part of that Ravens juggernaut, no doubt.
Orlowski says we should hire Rex Ryan.
You mean his Rex colleague Ryan. At ESPN?
Crazy. Yeah.
Hell.
Okay.
Hell
never,
no.
Here's the thing. Anytime anybody talks about fucking Dan Orlowski, never forget. Okay? Never forget. He's a quarterback for the shitty-ass Detroit Lions, who are good now. But just never forget, okay? Never forget. So I wouldn't trust a word out of his mouth. Ed Pierce, thanks to the Super Chat. Has there ever been a coach who's realized that they are very good at their level, so they turn down a promotion, linebacker to DC, for example? Like self-awareness as a coordinator? I'm sure that's happened.
I want to say yes, ambitious. But I can't remember a specific example.
I would think, you know what I would think is, I would think it's more along the lines of guys. I think there's more of guys who got the head coach chance and then they went back to being a coordinator and then they just right. love the staff.
They realize
they're on,
that's what they're good at.
And they love the team and the coach and everything. On Culture Barbarian, hey, Banky, you ever hear of Mark Tauscher? I can imagine your rage when the terrorist accepts the offer this time around. Okay, Culture, I really appreciate the super chat. I have heard of Mark Tauscher. I do not think
I love that that's it, though. Like, everybody is starting and stopping at Mark Tauscher. Yeah.
They're
great.
Like, Mark Tauscher.
The outlier that
JJ proves Watt.
The point.
TJ Watt. Yeah, exactly. It's like, they didn't play for us. Also, JJ Watt never got a ring. He should have traded to the Packers. I don't know why JJ Watt didn't try to get a trade to the Packers. That was crazy.
Well, he said, no. There was that offseason, right, before he signed with the Cardinals, where apparently, you know, there was a chance or something, and he said that someday he'll tell that story. So I'm excited to hear that.
Yeah, I want to hear that. Also, there's no ways. Ryan Willie, thanks for Super Chat. I can't wait to see the Packers next season and beyond. The future is so bright. Thank you, Ryan.
Come on, Ryan.
Appreciate you.
Amen.
Jocelyn, holy crap. Jocelyn with the nice support for Cheesehead TV. Really appreciate it. I want a defense whose presence is palpable. I want opposing fans to breathe a sigh of relief for merely staying ahead of the sticks on first down. And on third and long, I want them with clenched buttholes fearing a sack or pick.
Jocelyn, I also wish this.
That's a t-shirt right there. Kaleo, thanks for the super chat. Go Pack Go, I want Evero for DC. Yeah, a lot of people want Evero.
I like you, Kaleo.
A lot of people. I don't care. I just want somebody good. Banky having to cheer for Jim Leonard will be a great twist for this program. Thanks, JP, for the super chats. Never fucking happening, but appreciate it. On Culture Barbarian, this week on a special Brandy and the Barbarian, we discuss potential DC candidates while I marvel at the amount of champagne Brandy consumes now that the bad man can't harm her anymore. Thank you for the super chat. Mike Witt, why didn't they activate Cox Jr. on Saturday? Weird.
I think it's mostly special teams driven.
Oh, here you go. Mike Witt. Caleb Jones will be the new Yosh, in my opinion. Interesting.
He's got a chance. He's got to grab that opportunity. If he can stay healthy this camp, I think he's got a shot at it.
Mike Witt's got a lot of super chats. So draft an inside linebacker in first round and cut 59. Dude is done. Mike.
We talked a lot about 59. And I doubt they'd draft another inside linebacker in the first round like they did.
It's going to be a corner.
I'd be shocked.
It's going to be a corner.
Yep.
Number one. Corner safety. Whoever is their number one corner on the
especially
draft.
Especially at 25.
Safety. Yeah.
It'd probably be a safety at 25.
You get good value. Yeah. Jason Anderson. Yes. Better third round kicking gem. Ray Stackowitz, Brett Conway, or BJ Sander? LOL.
Why you got to do this to us, Jason? Why you want to drag us down? Why you want to put those names in my head?
I'm going to choose D. No, I'm going to say D is Anders Carlson, and then I'm going to choose E, none of the above. Okay? So there
Carlson's
you go with that.
Third rounder.
Uncultured. You know what? I'm just adding him to like another fucking idiot we drafted. Uncultured Barbarian. Right. The first 10 minutes of my therapy appointment on Monday was filled with F-bombs and Joe Barry. Therapist is a Packers fan. She understood. Thanks to the
Amazing.
Super chat. Sharif Tijani, I love looking at the stats from AR's first year and J-Love's. The caliber of the team in AR's first year was beyond amazing. We are in great hands. Really great point, Sharif. Thank you for the super chat. 100%
very much agree.
Crazy. Also, I do think the other thing, and we've said this before, is I think the ability of coaching staffs to recognize when players need to go into the game is really the difference in most teams. And the fact that, you know, you don't know what you have until a guy gets injured is not a strategy, in my opinion. And it feels like it feels like that's been the NFL. It's like we're so afraid to start the next guy a lot of times, and we don't really know what we have. It's like you have all these standards, but until you put a guy out in the game, you don't know what you have. And the fact that we didn't have any other choice, I think, is really kind of incredible for us to have that ability and then see what we had. It's insanity. Scott Dockendorf, thank you for being our go-to source of Packers news and game day second screen experience. Cheesehead TV is live now to beat Nagler at Madden. Thanks, Scott.
Come on, Scott, bring it.
I got a tip for you, Scott. If you want to beat Nagler at Madden, all you got to do is challenge him to play outside in the cold, and just like Anders Carlson, he will choke like a little baby.
Aaron
Nagler is the Anders Carlson of Madden in the cold. Okay? If his hands start getting cold, Len Beebe's got his number. I'm just telling you. It's crazy. Thomas Wade, 97. I really hope Nixon is back next year. Special teams needs him. Do you think Matt goes for a young positions coach as a DC or sticks with more established older DC? Also, we need to draft another MLB middle linebacker beside to go with Quay.
A lot going on there. I suspect he'll get a young up-and-coming coach. I'd be surprised if he goes with an older, old head.
Belichick. I'm going with Belichick.
That's just guesswork.
Right. Would be the greatest hire in Green Bay Packer history since Vince Lombardi.
Would be all incredible. All right.
Mike Witt, thanks for Super Chat. Don't forget about UDFAs like Emmanuel Wilson, too. How did we forget
no
about
doubt.
Him? Oh, we just didn't talk about
Well, because you were going through the draft class, and Wilson definitely contributed.
Oh, yeah. That's a great point, actually, Mike. Thank you. Braden LePan, Corey, Puka was taken in round 5, but Wicks is awesome.
Puka Nacua. With the Rams, Aaron, one offensive player of the year or whatever.
Harper, I want Ron Rivera or Lovie Smith. Oh, yeah, Ron Rivera is available. That's interesting.
No, not Ron Rivera. Not Ron
Why?
Rivera.
Why? He's good on defense.
I'd love Lovie Smith, but not Ron Rivera. No.
Lovie Smith would be, like, a little bit funny because it would be, like, us
It'd be amazing.
It would be us doing to the Bears and Vikings what they do to us.
Yes, I'd love that.
He Soder.
And that'd be a 4-3 for you, Corey.
Oh, that's crazy. New DC with the same assistants. Is that fastest path to more of the same? Hire the guy that can bring in a cadre of new positional coaches. That's a super chat.
I'm with you, Soder, and that was the one thing in Domofsky's report that kind of sent shivers down my spine as far as, oh, they could maybe keep Barry in another position. Although I do think that's just them being like, okay, we're going to keep all our options open. But yes, I'm with you. I think they need whoever comes in to be able to bring in all of their own people.
But that's pretty, that's typically how it's done though, isn't it?
Typically, but Barry didn't, you know, Barry kept a lot of the same guys. They brought in one or two new people.
You're going to say you keep everybody until you hire the next guy.
Until you hire.
Do the same thing the Triangle does with Matt, where it's like, okay, you get to hire all your people, you know, or keep them, you know?
That's most likely how it'll transpire. But you never
I know. Also think if you're a DC and you're coming in, you're probably going to watch a shitload of tape and then figure out, okay, what's locked in? Is my D-line locked in? Okay, I'm going to keep my D-line coach because I don't really have one, and the guy I have is working at the Raven. You know, it's a little bit of that probably.
No, I get you. Yep.
Mike Witt, what does Corey hate more, Michaels or the Badgers? What's Michaels? Oh, Bill Michaels? Bill Michaels isn't even in my top 5. I always forget about him. So I guess I would say the Badgers.
So definitely not qualifying.
Yeah. You know when Aaron Rodgers during the Jets was saying, I don't know who you are to a defensive lineman for the other team?
Right.
That's me to Bill Michaels.
The Jets versus Giants preseason game? Yeah, I feel you. Gotcha. Yeah.
Mike Witt, thanks for chat. Was that a goodbye note yesterday from 23 guys? No, it wasn't.
No. He's just thankful. Just feeling it. Great year. He's rejuvenated. No.
He likes Instagram. Mike Witt, more Packers trivia this offseason, please. Mike, thanks for Super Chat. Appreciate it.
Probably not, but we'll see what we can do.
Here's the problem with Packers trivia. It costs a lot to do, and we don't get a lot of people watching it. So, you know, it's like Joey and Mike Witt and Big B. You know what I'm saying?
Exactly.
So
we love you. And then they fight about who wins and who's cheating. And, yeah, no. Not
Jerry Weiss Corbly, thanks for being a Patreon member, Jerry. Thanks for your chat about Bakhtiari. We should do anything to keep Aaron Jones. This show is my favorite of all. Thanks, guys. Thank you, Jerry.
Thanks, Jerry.
Appreciate it. Appreciate you coming on the Patreon Happy
Hour
and supporting Chiefs TV.
I was going to say, good to see you on. Good to see you on Happy Hour every week. Thanks
no matter
so much.
Where you are in the world, it seemed like you still joined us for Happy Hour. So shout out to you. Cheeto 0218. I just talked to Jim Leonard. He's interested. Valid source. Of course he's interested. He has nothing going on. He literally has nothing going on. Like, honestly, probably his biggest regret in life is turning down Matt LaFleur, to be honest with you.
I mean, it's got to be up there, right? Considering what ended up happening. I think, yeah, he's probably sitting there going, I could have been defensive coordinator of the Green Bay Packers.
Yeah. He could have been Joe Barry getting fired. You know what I'm saying?
As opposed to Ralph passed over for the job in Madison. Yeah.
Ralph Renucci, we need another top running back to go with Jones. We have one. His name is A.J. Dillon. Thanks.
Well, he's set to be a free agent. I suspect there's a good chance he's back. But, yes, I agree. They will undoubtedly draft somebody.
They're going to draft somebody, but I don't think they're going to draft somebody high, by the way.
No. It'll be much like Jones. It'll be a day three guy, most likely.
I mean, it would be cool if they drafted in the second round, only because PFF would, like, have a conniption fit about it. Keith Peterson, thanks for Super Chat. Great meeting you both during Happy Hour yesterday. Keith, thanks for coming on. Thanks, Keith.
Thanks for coming on and saying hi.
Appreciate it.
Appreciate you, buddy.
Andrew's Paradise with the 1265. I like it. Pride still matters. Remember, we are a part of the greatest franchise in sports. Proud of our pack and proud to call you all my cheering mates. Go, Pack, go. Thank you.
Thank you, Andrew.
Wendy Vance, I need to quit going to away games. They have never won. They never win.
Oh,
I'm sorry, Wendy. Wendy, keep going.
Sorry.
They'll win one day.
Keep
They'll
going.
Win. The odds are
and
in
when they
favor.
Do, you're going to be like, oh, my God, this is the greatest day ever.
Yeah.
Keep going.
Carl Van Beckham, thanks for your work in 2023. I vote for Evero. It looks like Evero has all the votes, two all the votes. Oh, wait, we got one more. JP, the best thing about this last season is watching Vikings and Bears fans squirm. As excited as we are for the future, they are equally nervous. 100%. Great
love
point.
Absolutely.
Great point. And also, like, the Green Bay Packers delivered. You know, yeah, we lost to the Vikings once. We beat the Bears twice. We beat the Vikings once. You know, we beat the Bears in the first game of the season. That game, when I look back on it, it was an incredible game. And just really, honestly, was a foreshadowing of the season we were about to see. And that is not always the case in the first game of the season. So very happy we had that game, and I'm really looking forward to the season. And that's where we're at, Nagler.
Awesome. I want to give a shout out, as does Corey, to all of our Patreon members. You hear Corey talking about happy hours. We do it all off season long, not just in season. Had our happy hour for this week last night. If you want to join, please hit up patreon.com/cheeseheadtv. Anything you can do to support us, we really appreciate. As well as here on YouTube, all the Carry the G Club members, you guys are the bomb.com. Make watch parties tons of fun. Cannot thank you enough for the support. You got anything else for the fine folks before we head out? Corey Behnke.
That's what I got.
That'll do it for this episode of Packer Transplants Live. We'd like to thank everybody who makes Cheesehead TV part of their daily Packers routine. We are and will always be devoted to Green Bay Packers fans worldwide.
I think it's a fluid situation, and we're I know you guys love it, especially Nagler. I can see you smirking at me right there. We're going to take it one day at a time, and just it's going to be fluid, though. That's all I can tell you.